This past Thursday was hump day for us as Catholics, the middle of Lent, and the end is now in sight as we continue to make our sacrifices and our penances. And so this weekend, this Sunday, your pastor dons this beautiful rose-colored vestment that the Altar Society has graciously purchased for the parish, as a way of remembering that there is still joy even in the midst of our penances, and we look forward even now being halfway through Lent to the joys of Easter. And we also have a very familiar gospel. Almost anyone, if you ask them, knows the story of the prodigal son. Why? Because most of us identify with it so readily. This was the son who was, number one, smart enough to realize his circumstances and to acknowledge his sin, to look at what the pigs were eating and say, you know what, I could do better than that if I went back home and was a slave to my own father. Many of us here today need to realize the gravity of the choices we've made and that we're eating out of the trough too. We're eating out of the garbage bin. God wants you to be fed on something much better, his word, his life, his church. But the prodigal son was humble enough to at least admit his sin and go back to his father and say, Father, I have sinned and I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore, but will you please accept me back at least as a servant? You know, I find that a lot of Catholics think that being a good Catholic means being perfect. But do you realize that heaven will be full of former sinners, not a bunch of people who were perfect in this life? And he was not just accepted back, but honored. It says that his father put a ring on his finger, a sign of power, a robe on him, a sign of dignity, and sandals on his feet, a sign of status. And that status is very important. You see, his father could have accepted him back as a servant, or perhaps as a lesser son, somebody who is down in the hierarchy in the family. But instead, what did he choose to do? He chose to actually elevate him. And you guys, this is very key to our understanding of what the forgiveness of sin is and how God operates. Because when you sin, if you are humble enough to admit your circumstances, to be real with yourself about where you're at, and humble enough to go back to the Father and say, I'm sorry, then he not only wants to forgive your sins, he not only wants to welcome you back into his house, he wants to elevate your status. He wants to lift you up. Remember, by your baptism, you are anointed priests, prophets, and kings, queens in the heavenly kingdom. Now, many of us know and can identify readily with this son, this prodigal son. But sometimes when you hear a homily or a teaching on this gospel, the other two characters are somewhat neglected. The father, for example. Looking at the father in the story is very key to understanding our Christian idea of forgiveness. For the son to come and ask his father for his inheritance before the father died is basically saying to him, Dad, you are dead to me. I want what's coming to me, and you're not my father anymore. If some of you who are parents can imagine your children coming to you and saying, you know, I would like what you're going to give me when you die, so if you could just die now, that would be helpful to me. But what does the father do in reaction? He doesn't hold on to past hurts. You know, it says in the scriptures that he saw his son at a great distance. Did you guys notice that? That he saw his son at a great distance? So this is a father whose son has said, I don't want you to be my dad anymore. I want all that's coming to me. And then he left and it says went to a distant country, a foreign country. And yet his dad sees him coming back at a great distance. You know what that means? That means the dad was out looking for him. That means the dad was eager to forgive. He wanted his son back so desperately, he wasn't holding on to the past hurt. And many of you here today, and I know from talking to you, you hold on, I hold on to past hurts. Things that have genuinely wounded us deeply, things where we've been treated wrong and unjustly. But yet if we follow the example of this Father and the example of our Heavenly Father, we are eager and looking to forgive. We don't wait for an apology. Notice, too, that the Father spares no expense, as I said before, placing a ring, a robe, and sandals on his feet. Guys, your Heavenly Father's forgiveness for you is very lavish. It's extraordinary. It goes above and beyond. Guys, that's why confession is so important. How many of you think that you need to go to confession when you commit a mortal sin? You don't have to raise your hands. But how many of you come regularly just to have God lavish His graces upon you, just like He does in Holy Communion? And yet every Saturday I sit in there in that confessional, and a few of you come. Your Father's, He's out there on the front porch waiting for you, looking for you. Your Father here in this parish, your pastor, is waiting for you. And still you don't come. And the eldest son is one that is probably neglected the most in our preaching. Probably because he had one of the darker and deeper sins. The one of jealousy. I shared with you about a month ago an experience where I went over after losing our volleyball game to the faculty, which I'm sure was just bad reffing. But I went over to the rectory and I opened up the Catholic Advance, and it had all the awards for all the schools and parishes in the diocese. And I remember looking, and there was nothing there about Christ the King. And I thought, gosh, we've come so far and done so much. It would be nice to be recognized. And I was jealous. I was so jealous of these other parishes. And yet it wasn't till this weekend that I realized that I can stop being jealous, but there's a further step that needs to be taken. You see, this eldest son refused to rejoice in the good that happens to other people. How many of you have had that experience? Say at work, when you're a hard worker, you put in extra hours or extra effort, and the other guy gets the promotion. You see, if we really want to get past our jealousy, if we really want to not just not be jealous, but actually turn towards something good, it means we actually rejoice in the good that happens to other people. And yet, did I call those pastors up and say, hey, congratulations on your award? No. Because perhaps the core of jealousy is that we're so selfish that we're worried about the good that's not happening to us, that we're not looking at how God's blessing other people. This was a man, this eldest son, who liked to point out the good, all the good that he had done too. Like, Father, I've obeyed you all these years. It reminds me of kind of a funny example. I don't want to make light of your confessions. They're very beautiful and sacred, but I always get a chuckle when somebody comes into the confessional and launches into a litany of all the good things they have done. And I have to say to them, and very seriously say to them, I'm sorry, I didn't hear any sins in there. A lot of us like to powder coat our own lives, to try to justify ourselves before God. But guys, we stand naked before God. There's nothing He doesn't see. In fact, He sees deeper than you see into your own heart. Who are you in this weekend's gospel? Are you the eldest son, jealous, griping, and trying to justify yourselves by your good deeds, proud? Or like the youngest son, who's willing to be real with himself about where he's at, his circumstances, and his need for redemption? He's willing to acknowledge his sin. You know, it'd be an interesting debate to see how many of us think that which son committed the worst sin. Because if you think about it, the prodigal son, the younger son, at least he acknowledged his sin and came back and asked for forgiveness. The other son didn't. You see, guys, the Christian life is not about how far you've fallen. It's about your willingness to come back. You see, both these sons were sinners. Both these sons were prodigal sons in some sense. The only perfect one is the Father. the one who doesn't hold on to past hurts, who's eager to forgive, and is lavish, goes over the top in his forgiveness. Which one will you be?